Hello, welcome again to another episode of Talk Architecture, and I'm your host, Naziati Muhammad Yaqub, with an episode, a topic on the architect entrepreneur hypothesis and design thesis. I'm trying to propose that the design thesis, which is the last final project that will determine that you're a graduate architect in most places in the world, that last final project in the fifth year of architecture, if you say the first 3 years is the degree and the last second 2 years is the master's of architecture, which we now commonly find that. And after doing architecture for 4 years, so you come to a design thesis. How different schools of architecture would approach and conduct the design thesis would vary, but I would like to talk about something that I had been involved with the 2019-2020 batch, which is a calendar year consisting of 7 to 8 weeks of special semester and 14 weeks each of semester 1 and 2. So going back to the topic again, the architect entrepreneur hypothesis and design thesis. I suppose consciously we were looking at how resilient the graduate will be, how much the graduate could grasp and be challenged, and how much the design thesis could bridge between architecture education and practice. And that was our approach. A context site specificity sort of projects or site context specifics. You know what I mean? Like we would have the students tackle some sort of a master plan of an area which is doable as a group. So at that time, we had 10 students. Much of the project was done online, by the way, and we had a bit of few weeks extra because of the situation with online teaching at that time in 2020. Now, the beginning, obviously, we went to site and we did the site investigations and you know, 2019, it wasn't a problem really towards the end of that year to visit sites, but it was the second semester after, which was a bit having to do with online training and teaching. Now, okay, I've got that away, and you could understand the context of this design thesis in particular. It was after some experience that we had. I was working with Kevin Matlow and Lisa Fu as the studio masters. And Kevin Matlow was leading the studio, and I was the full-time academic at that time. And Lisa Fu was assisting, similar to my role, with the students. And the students that voluntarily joined our unit, which is Unit 2, we did the research on the site, and the students came up with different topics, thesis topics. There was this road, which is the main road, off Petaling Jaya, Old Town, that cuts with another vertical Y-axis road, which is cutting four quarters, really, section 1, 2, 3, and 4. So at the junction there is where all things happen, where much of the commercial areas. And in particular, Raymond Boo took one of the sites, which is a an existing market. And that's one of the case studies that I'm going to focus on with regard to this topic. I would mention the others, but I'm going to focus on his thesis, which I will explain what are the hypotheses that made his design thesis a complex design thesis with a very simple building type, which is a market. So here we go. There is a link below in the caption or explanation of this project that will be linked to a blog. And in that blog, there's a write-up and you could see the drawings. Raymond Booz, the market hub at Jalan Osman Petaling Jaya, was a highly commendable design thesis project. And the issue here is the relevance of the market building, often called the wet market in Malaysia, a social hub, especially in with a higher than average old persons population, meaning there are a lot of elderly people in the community. So you can see that this area is in transition. Older persons are still there and a few old folks home and dilapidated buildings, and there is not much development and ripe for development and waiting for the status of the land ownership to change, and then you'll have the developers coming in. But still there is an existing community, and there's also a lot of religious buildings as well and a few institutions. So is the old part of Petaling Jaya, whereby the new Petaling Jaya is Section 52, where we have a lot of the banks and other more commercial shops. Anyway, Petaling Jaya is a huge area in the suburb of Kuala Lumpur. So I'm talking about Raymond Booz's wet market, which his new proposal is a sight for sore eyes, because due to the bad upkeep and poor state of the existing market, which is dilapidated, unhygienic, and causes several issues to the surrounding area. So instead, Raymond proposed a contemporary local marketplace that still retains the authenticity and core functions of a traditional market by reconditioning an extension of the existing market. As you know, a wet market has like fish and meat, and they cut them up at on site, you know, and they have storage facilities, and they also have produce and vegetables, fruits, and also dry goods like spices and other dried goods. And then sometimes you even have household items upstairs or clothing for the communities come and get their items for the consumption. So Raymond said the new design encourages the modern consumers to visit and shop for goods, as well as having the sense of ownership and pride that the stall owners in the neighborhood once had. So the designs that he did was very detailed. It's from the bigger picture to the minute detail of even how to create a safe way for the cash register or things that is, you know, even small details like that, and how the stalls are designed so that it's easier to handle the buying and selling transactions. So the renewal to the market will create an economic and community focal point where users of all ages and background comes to obtain grocery needs, experiencing the local culture of PJ Old Town, interacting with people and engaging in activities where it encourages their involvement in and within the marketplace as an active great gathering space with local community. He even have an urban farm at the top, and he added a couple of stories. So I'd go into the hypothesis now, because that's the interesting part. My proposition here is that in a design thesis, there are students who are bordering on an entrepreneur, because they're actually, through architecture design, fill in the missing gaps to an ecosystem. And Raymond Booz's project does that. in our opinion, in my opinion especially, there are a few students, him and Chang He and Zhou Yi, these two also have their projects in the blog if you want to have a look. So, but I'm going to concentrate on him just to go in and inform that in that 1 year design thesis process, from on-site investigations to analysis and through a further study of the different aspects and coming up with different schemes, continually being getting feedback and input from the tutors and visiting critiques and themselves studying in between, and also keep on investigating and digging deep and being the designer that they are. So there are two groups of people. The ones with the B pluses and the to the A's, they have a certain architectural flair. I'm not saying that the other group, which is the B's, are not, shall we say, architects material. They still have need time to learn to be, to have that, or gain that architectural flair. And so this sort of thing is either consciously being done or not throughout the years, in which the way they try to create that aesthetics. But to me personally, an architect doesn't have to be have that architectural flair to be an architect or to have some credence on the way on how they are skillful or not. They are equally skillful. It's just that in a design thesis, we don't, I mean, these are the grades that we give. I mean, the students themselves can evaluate whether they did very well despite the grades. They are the person most important to grade themselves, evaluate themselves, hence working on themselves and reflecting on how they could improve themselves, obviously. These are about skills and knowledge in architecture. And, okay, there's another angle, which is the architect entrepreneur. In a design thesis, you can see that I mentioned about those three students. And they were persistent and consistent and hardworking enough to find hypotheses that are to do with the ecosystem. Mostly people are, the others, apart from them, who are in the B plus to A category, they are the traditional architectural designers. They deal with the site planning and building issues. They have some sensibilities in architectural expressions and aesthetics, but they did not tackle the ecosystem. Ecosystem could be the marketplace. It could be the education of students. I mean, it's a bigger issue. Like that's what Chang He did for the education part, and Raymond did for the marketplace, which is a social gathering, but yet it's a bigger ecosystem of a circular economy and food security. He didn't go all out, but because it was more towards the building design, but he actually addressed those issues, and so did Chang He. And Chang He did it more in a master planning strategic way as well. Exceptional project as well. Perhaps one day I would talk about that project. And Wang Zhou Yi was looking at adaptive reuse, but his was more of the community building and regenerating vertical buildings that are high rise, which not necessarily something good for elderly persons or other people who have problems with physical access, but he managed to create a design that is very accessible and interesting in that respect, and also tackle a lot of issues. So these three people were really into architectural or the entrepreneurship of things, and by dealing with the ecosystem. They don't know it. It wasn't in the agenda. We didn't set out to saying, you know, all these things. It's my analysis about a group of students, yeah? So the others were more of the traditional architect, And the ones who are struggling lack the architectural design flair, but that doesn't mean that their education stops at the design thesis. They could pick it up, or they could be a different sort of person, or they could even realize about entrepreneurship later on. So this is learning is like a lifetime. So this is just a small part of their lives, really. So I'm curious about what they're doing now, what their interests are, whether they're still interested in architecture. There were instances when people decided not to be involved in architecture anymore. They decided they don't want anything to do with architecture, and because they kind of give up, you know. But maybe that is a hiatus from architecture. So they end up working with a developer or a different area, maybe graphic design or something like that. So it is a long process, actually. We have had some of these discussions in some of the interviews you had with students, so you can browse the podcast. Now, I've got about 15 minutes here for me to talk about Raymond Bukietmeng, that's his name, Market Hub at PJ Old Town, Petaling Jaya Old Town, and what were his hypotheses. So Raymond had more hypotheses than some of the students, and he's got about 5 hypotheses, and they were really solid ones. The first one is, the problem statement is that there is a disconnection of the building programs, the market hall, food court, and others on the existing site. So it referred to certain of the boards that he had that he showed this. And then the solution was how he resolved that issue was the existing food court is demolished and integrated within the market area where it is facing towards the main road, Jalan Osman, and throughout the large atrium passageway. So he created that. And Dorman's site, nearby the site, he utilizes a temporary market stall. So he actually considered when renovation or building works are going to go on site with his design, what happens to the businesses there. And so it will be relocated to allow better linkage to a nearby location. So the third is the link bridge from the community town hall, library, and bus stop, which is being done by another student, a bridge that connects to the bus stop. So for the ease of travel for persons to go to the market from the bus stop rather than through the traffic lights. So disconnect the market hub to foster strong relationship and movement. The mobility of the people within the market is enhanced through the integration of ramp and the connection between each levels. So you can see that vertically there is some sort of connectivity so that there's ease of travel to go throughout the marketplace right until the rooftop level. So the circulation and movement from loading and unloading, because there were problems about loading services of the lorries and trucks to the cold storage and then to the individual stalls. He analyzed the problem and then he gave a solution to that. The second hypothesis is about traffic congestion along Jalan Osman, which is the main road and roads surrounding the market. So what he did is he had the designed a designated loading bay because that's a poor setup at the moment. So he created a better one to the rear side of the building along the internal service road and to avoid congestion along the main road, because a lot of these trucks decided to go to the main road to unpack and repack. So that was the problem he resolved. And car parking is also a problem where he got a podium level to resolve this issue of car parking. So architecture is very much a science in a way, as it is an art. So we need to deal with that. And a design thesis with the hypothesis listed shows the logistical and practical solutions to the problem at hand. And also the third point, which is a dilapidated and poor building condition. And we know this is an adaptive reuse. So he carefully studied the structure and which one to be taken or demolished and some retained. And then he would shore up with another set of structures because there will be another two floors upstairs. And then courtyards were introduced in between market stalls and building mass to allow cross ventilation and penetration of daylighting. So that we can see that there's another aspect, another set of criteria that he worked on, and that's to do with the environmental science and also to do with construction, building structure and services integration, which most design theses would need to do, but sometimes they only focus on only on these two issues for design thesis. On top of the previous one where it is to do with the market, problems of the infrastructure which he dealt, he also looked at it in a much more holistic way and looking at the bigger picture of food security, where he stated in hypothesis in the problem statement of the absence of urban green along the main road Jalan Osman and surrounding area from the Jalan Osman intersection. So what he did was terracing roof garden incorporated on the topmost level of the market, which created an organic farming area, that's the food security thing, to generate supply for the market stalls below and function as an urban green pocket park for the neighborhood. So people can come and have a gathering area as well upstairs. There's also a garden between market stalls and shops to create a shared space for interaction. You will not think that in a wet market area that there'll be places where you can sit in between the stalls. And it is thought for, it was planned for, it was incorporated into this, not only giving the number that is there, allocating the existing number, but adding more as well. Yet having gardens just by the design, yeah? And so that you could plant herbs and anything along here as well to offset the foul smell of the market. So you know that in a marketplace, there will be foul smell from the fish and so on. So that's why he went into the more detailed aspect of it, which is trying to solve this problem statement or hypothesis, which is a lack of proper infrastructure within and surrounding the existing marketplace. So he created a public plaza to introduce along Jalan Osman intersection where it holds the existing Hungry Ghost Festival events and allow transient stalls operation to be set up and take place. So there were nodes that he created that is part of the market, which is flexible to be used for different events. The second solution to that hypothesis, designated motorcycle and bicycle parking are provided at the podium car park for ease of access. As you know, motorcyclists and cyclists using bicycles, especially the latter, could be much more walkable city, livable city, using a bicycle and having those access could help people, you know, have a slower pace and make a much more livable city. Market stalls are designed to provide wider and workable space and allow better display of produce and goods. Storage of personal item and cash are allocated, and prevention of getting wet and piping and wiring are properly directed and stored. So he actually redesigned the market stalls. So this is an added challenge to the design, which is expected in the design thesis. Cold storages for different stalls provided for common abattoirs are located between stalls. So, you know, there are cutting up of meat happening and how he needed to go and create separate areas that people not commonly not going to be going to those areas, right? And how that is happening at the ground level at the back. So waste collection and composting system is incorporated to solve the large waste disposal issue to ensure waste is properly disposed and reused as compost with vegetation. So here's where the circular economy happens, where the architect provided the building to be operable in this ecosystem of low carbon and recycling and zero waste situation happening. How are we going to have the composting as well? Seating badge is integrated with a railing around the corridor to transform a social corridor. So something like this is could endear to people to be able to have a comfortable place to come and see people. People have to come to shop for the daily goods, the daily needs, so they could meet up their friends or people whom they know. And this is very important in terms of accessibility and inclusivity for people to use the market. As you can see, elderly people, it's important for them, and it's a huge elderly population where they could, be engaged with other people. So this is an example of how, number one, how architecture fits into an ecosystem. And there are a couple of ecosystems here. And architecture is like that because of its position, location, sense of place. And it's more than three-dimensional. It's like four-dimensional. It's going through space, experiential and spatial. Therefore, architecture could play a very important role in ecosystems, in the ecosystem of social and cultural activities, in the ecosystem of the circular economy of green practices. Not only that, it houses urban farms on top or pocket gardens, it also provide for the connection or the place where people actually do things to do with waste and composting and so on, to do with everything with zero waste actually. And then you have the ecosystem of social one, circular economy, circular ecosystem where to do with waste and green. And then you have it as a place where you can do business as well. I mean, tackling the building type, a market, you know, you have the exchange of goods, stock market, you know, the what do you call it, type of building that emerge. But in an Asian city, the wet market, you could place it deep down inside the bowels or underground, and you can create like a plaza on top so that you can't really deal with the wet market is not seen. I've seen that example in Hong Kong. It is very clean, but it's totally a different environment downstairs as it is upstairs, where there are housing upstairs. But of course, that has to do with that typical context. But the wet market is not seen. This one, the wet market is seen. The wet market in all its glory and what it's trying to do. So architects engage with ideas. And this, I had a chat with Raymond, and it gave him some confidence to actually build on this when he went into practice, or he went into working life after the design thesis. And it gave him an opportunity to talk about it in an international conference. So a design thesis could be pivotal, could be momentous, could be essential in an architect's life. And that is an example that I've given. And why it is so is because the hypothesis or the challenges to the problem statements that one conjures during the design process, and it's not necessarily that this was listed at the beginning for him. He had an inkling about a few things, but then as he went through the development design stage or the design development stage and so on, he came out with more problem statements and he dealt with them, giving time. He had time to finish it, and it was well done in terms of drawings. So that is all. That is what I like to talk about in terms of the architect entrepreneur. how the architect entrepreneur can be, so to speak, emerge from the design thesis, because by dealing with hypotheses of problem statements and the challenges that a simple topic like a market, you know, when you talk about, oh, it's just a market, it's so boring, you know, it's not so, doesn't sound challenging, but it is challenging. And site context or context specificities projects do make you be that architect, be that person who can challenge yourself more. So that is an example. Have a look at a blog, a link below, and thank you for listening. This is part one. I will give part two later. Thank you.